time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's Friday, October 12th, and we're back with you.
Hello. Yes.
Good morning, Brigetta.
Good morning.
It sure feels like fall outside.
I know,
it?
I like it.
Yeah. It was raining yesterday.
It felt so good. I will say that yesterday I was shocked that it was hailing.
Yeah.
But I was pleasantly surprised.
It was hailing where you were?
It was hailing.
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, yes. I know, that's really weird, but yes.
I know. I love the rain, you know.
And I just like watching like all the trees like wet as they were. And I even like I was like, oh, I wish I wasn't in this stupid cast thing because I wanted to like just go and like sit in the woods. But
play
I'm like,
in the rain.
How am I going to get there? And then I thought about, could I drive my car somewhere and just like drive it off road? No, that'd be a bad idea. I'm like, no. So then I was like, oh, well, I guess
so. You like to be in nature when it rains and stuff?
Yeah, I do. Well, because like where I grew up, like my house is kind of in the middle of the woods and everything. So it's just, I don't know, it's nice to just sit outside. I don't care if I get wet.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it, but I'm like, I will hurt myself more. It's just not a good idea, even though I want to. So I didn't.
Yeah, you got to be careful until you heal, you know.
No.
How's your leg doing?
You know, it's way better.
Is
but
it really?
I took it off, you know, because I was examining it this morning and, like, you know, washing myself in the bathtub, and I was like, this doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Like, it's really swollen with fluid, and I've had many sprains before, but, I've never seen, like, fluid like that. Like,
wow.
Yeah, it's weird.
Really?
Yeah. And
fluid inside the foot or what?
Well, it gets like so swollen that it's like, and if you touch it, it's like, ugh.
Oh, really?
It's just really gross. I love that. image gone. But it's weird. So I was like, I can't look at this. It just actually disgusts me. So I put it back on. But I mean, they tell me to like lean on it as much as I can to try and like keep the muscles from not locking up.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, but my complaint from the very beginning was it's a sprain like my ankle, but it's also my heel.
Mm.
And like the doctors are like, well, whatever, I don't see anything, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay,
they never do.
Yeah, but I think I need to go get an MRI because I think whatever I tore, because he was saying I tore a ligament, but it must be like whatever is behind because that's what hurts still.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so difficult to lean on it.
Right.
But it's better.
You'll get better.
Yeah, I'm down to one crutch.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yesterday I was like
pretty
none.
Pretty soon you won't need any, right?
Yeah, I was none yesterday until I actually looked at my foot, and then it's a mental thing.
Yeah.
So if I just like erase that image, hopefully later today, then I'll be okay.
So you're able to stand on the foot though? You can stand on it?
I mean, if I'm wearing... Okay, here's my philosophy on that. If I wear boots on my left foot, it's the same level, then I'm able to do it. Otherwise, the balance is off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's okay. It's just my...
That's good. But you're feeling better, right?
I am feeling better, yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mentally great. Yeah.
Great. You seem to be in a good mood, and that's good. You know, yesterday my day didn't start very well because I had to take the freeways to drive to Hollywood.
Oh, see, now you know what it's like for me to come here.
Yeah, but except that, you know, I mean, the thing is when you don't know what to expect, because I haven't been driving, you know, anywhere far for years now, you know. So when you don't know where you're driving, yes, L.A. can be very stressful to you. And so I would get on the freeway, get off the freeway, do a few circles, get back on the freeway. And I just realized I'm not getting anywhere, you know.
Right.
So I finally just got on it.
You just got to stay.
You just got to stand there. But, you know, sometimes you just sit there and the traffic is not moving, you know. It wasn't moving, period. When I got off on the streets.
Where was your convention?
In Hollywood.
Oh, it was in Hollywood.
Yeah, so.
Oh.
But eventually the road opened up and stuff, but I was.
Secret idea. Just take Ventura the whole way.
Well, that's what I tried. But Ventura wasn't moving. That's what I'm telling you. I was doing circles.
Oh, I don't know.
I went to take the streets.
Oh, because people were scared of the rain. That's what it is.
Probably.
I forgot. Yeah. People don't know how to drive in the rain here. That's my one complaint with the rain. Otherwise, I love the rain.
Yeah.
But, yeah, people
but
don't.
It hadn't
they get
rained
scared. They're
yet.
Like, oh, my God, it's snowing. There's something falling from the sky. What is it? Oh, my God.
Yeah, people like, do freak out here when it rains, you
it's
know.
It's just rain.
But
yeah.
It hadn't rained yet at that point. I don't
really?
Know what the hell the problem is. Yeah. But, you know, so... But eventually I got there, and it was a nice gathering of talk radio. You know, I got to meet a lot of people, and I was on a panel as well, mm-hmm. which was nice. So I got to tell people about our radio station and things like that, and got to hear what other people had to say. And, you know, the more I hear other people, the more I realize I'm on the right path, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether they make mistakes or whether they do similar things or whatever, you know, so...
Good.
So that was good, you know, and there was good food. They had Brent's Deli there.
You're like, all I care about is the food.
Yeah. And, but, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, an industry like that, you kind of feel like an outsider when you're new, you know. You have to break yourself in, you know, and...
Now,
but it
were
worked,
people
you know.
From everywhere? I mean, all over the place?
Yeah,
just like
yeah
LA
people
based?
Came from everywhere, but cool. It was mostly LA radio and stuff like that, you know. So, they gave out gift bags, too, and things like that.
Well, that's always fun.
Yeah.
Well,
nothing like the stuff
it?
You get.
Nothing's ever like the stuff I get.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know, and so I spoke on the panel. That was good. A couple of competitors were there. You know, I had to sit next to them. But yeah, I mean, you know, you show up in events like this and it's like, you know, you put everything aside and mm-hmm. you try to be nice to everyone and, you know, the hell with competition and stuff. So, yeah, especially when you're proud and confident in what you have.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
So, so that was my day yesterday. Nothing exciting if you're not in radio. But it was funny because one of the, an old DJ, I mean, he's been around for a while. His name is Shadow Stevens. He used to be on radio here in the 80s.
Why does the name sound familiar? What else
I don't know. He used to do like commercials. He does commercials and things like that sometimes. Mm-hmm. He's got a really deep, nice voice.
Okay.
So... you know, the moderator was telling me, oh, so you also have a radio show? And I said, yeah, I do. And with my co-host and stuff, and Shadow Stevens goes, yeah, you should see all the beautiful girls around him all the time, you know? So I realized he's following me on Facebook.
That's why you want to hang out
with
him.
Yeah, exactly.
You just want to leave.
That's why I want to do the show.
Wow, we have enough hot girls we bring in here.
Yeah.
I think we do a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, I do, you know, and, the thing is that it's amazing that you sometimes find out people follow you that you didn't know they do, you
right.
know. But when you think about it, you know, when you have 4,000 or 5,000 fans and stuff, yeah, people know what the hell you're doing, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, same thing. Like, if I don't post something every so often on my page, people are like, oh, my God, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't feel like posting today. I'm
yeah,
like,
you need to be up
yeah,
there.
I'm like, okay. So you know what I mean? I get it. But even if we don't do a show, like if it's a repeat, people are like, oh, repeat, like when are you going to be back?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. People have really gotten used to this.
I thank all of you who are listening. I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
No, we really appreciate this, you know, and every time a listener writes me, it's just, it's amazing. You know? I mean, people write me from England, from all over the country, the world, you know, it's amazing how many people we reach.
Yeah, and I'm so happy for that. And I want to say, too, is like everyone who has, you know, that past week that was horrible for me and everyone was writing in, thank you so much because those little notes that everyone sent me made me cheer up.
Yeah, it's nice support to have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Okay, well, we have a special guest in the studio that you brought us, and why don't you introduce him. Tell us a little bit about him.
We have Zaras Thustra here in studio. He's amazing.
I think you didn't pronounce it right. Say it again.
I did say it right. I said it with an accent, so it sounded sexier.
Zaras Thustra?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't it sound sexy? I thought it did.
Anyway. That's an amazing name, but you must have trouble with it.
No. I don't. Other people do.
Other people do. That's true. Well, welcome to the show.
Yes. Well, thank you.
And we want to find out all about you. Now, how did you guys meet?
You know, I went to, you know, Gail Thackeray. We've had her here in studio before. And
right.
She's an amazing healer, and I love her to death. And so he was doing a workshop there at her place on Monday night. She does spirit socials. Mm. So she has different healers and guests come in, and he was there. And I saw the email that came in saying fifth dimensional healing, and I thought, I'm going to go check it out.
Well,
so I did.
Right up your alley,
yes.
There.
And it was amazing. Yeah. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
What was amazing?
He's amazing.
Oh, okay. So you guys met that evening.
Yes.
And so what was the class about? What were you teaching then?
This one, the theme was third eye activation.
Right.
And
third eye activation.
Third eye activation, correct. Which basically, when everyone talks about third eye, which is the sixth chakra, in reality, the truth of it is it's the pineal gland, and the pineal gland is tucked in the center of the brain, and pineal gland, when it gets activated, it produces dimethyltryptamine, which is DMT.
Mm-hmm. Which is like found in turkey, right? When you eat turkey, is it? I think it is. I remember thinking
maybe
that before.
That's what it is, yeah.
No, I'm serious.
And it produces melatonin, which is regulates your sleep pattern.
Uh-huh.
But the production of DMT, it takes the illusion of duality away. So what it means is when it starts producing in the brain, you start experiencing oneness with everything.
Mm.
So it takes you back to your original state, your divine divine state of being, and also gives you firsthand experience with a lot of different mystical things, such as, for example, if you're a healer, your healer healing abilities, or if you're psychic, your psychic abilities begin to enhance drastically by the production of DMT, as well as if you're clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudient, all of these abilities will be enhanced, as well as having mystical experiences such as time travel, time dilation, encounters with trans-dimensional beings, all sorts of mystical and spiritual experiences you begin to have when the third eye gets activated.
Mm, I see. Sounds like, you know, being on LSD or something, you know, that's you'd get the same effects probably. So this works for people that are clairvoyant and psychics and stuff, but what about normal people?
Well, everybody can experience these things because we all have pineal gland in our brain, and normally pineal gland starts its stops its production of DMT by around age 12.
Mm.
Reason for that is because we have a lot of fluoride in the water that we consume, and fluoride calcifies the pineal glands. So pineal glands eventually stops producing DMT. So since it's available for every human being, we all have access to this. And once our pineal gland, which is the third eye or pineal gland, begins to become activate, it produces DMT again, and everyone can experience this.
I see.
Now, is this where they say that, like, because children are more in tune, like, with the other side, children can see, you know, spirits? Because when I was younger, I saw something up until I was 13, and it just disappeared. It went away. And it was this crazy thing. But I know a lot of people, like, I have so many friends that have kids that say they see spirits. And it's like until you're told not to, you shut it down,
right.
You know? So I'm guessing, is that have to do with, like, DMT as well? Or?
Yes, it has something to do definitely with the production of the DMT in the brain, which is a natural thing. As well as what we, in the spiritual world, some of the gurus or teachers or masters, they call it, when we revert back from the heart to the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Means originally when we're children, we basically are not very analytical or intellectual. We're not doing things or living our lives with our intellectual mind, analyzing that what I'm going to do next week or what am I going to be when I'm 13 or whatever age, 13 years old. But the parents and the society, school, keeps telling the children, think about future, think about tomorrow, think about this and that. So we kind of force our children from intuitive knowing, which we all do that we just basically go on our intuition and we're very much in the moment. We get forced into an analytical thinking, and so I call it a journey from the heart to the head.
Mm. Mm.
And we're forced not to be in the moment anymore. We get conditioned that we worry about an uncertain future that doesn't exist or keep thinking about the past.
Right.
But when you are a child, you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually we get conditioned to that method of being.
Mm.
So part of what I do is to reprogram and teach people to revert back on this journey from head to the heart.
Mm.
So we go back into our original state of being intuitive and being present in this moment.
Right. So it makes you feel sort of like childlike and stuff, right?
In some ways, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely have access to all your memories and your level of maturity increases,
right.
Yet you become more childlike as far as being playful and right. enjoying life.
Right.
And I will say I felt like that piece of me was missing in so many ways. Like, you know, everything I've been through, it's like, oh my God, like, really? And just so many things are happening. And it's like when I went through, you know, like his healing and just everything that I experienced during Monday night was absolutely incredible for me. And I felt like I literally felt like I got a piece of me back. It was just very empowering in a way. And I will say I mean, each person has their own individual experience, what they go through. And I, you know, got this crazy experience. Like people talk about like being able to go back through the womb and like go back through past lives. And I've seen stuff, like I've had dreams, you know, about it. And that's how my body works, but I've never been able to do it through a meditation. And I'm telling you, it happened Monday and I thought it was absolutely incredible. And I realized what I needed to work on, and I realized where these fears and things that I go through came from.
Right.
And I fixed it.
Right.
And so, I mean, there's many things. There's many things to work on, but those were, you know, a few things that I felt fixed. And after I did it, I actually called my mom on Tuesday and I told her, and I said, you know, this is what came up. And she cried. She's
really?
Like, you're right, that did happen. And because I went back to like the womb, like I was like inside my mom's womb, and I could hear things and experience whatever she was experiencing. That's like what happened. And I told her, and she was crying. She's like, you're right, that's exactly what happened. And that's crazy that you felt that. I'm like, well, it's all good.
Yeah,
forgiven.
It's all good.
I feel good.
I know I'm meeting the right people, Mom.
Yeah, and it was amazing. But it's great because it was like replaced with love. Like anything that was pulled out that was a bad memory was like, you know, self-love again. And I didn't have that for so long. So I felt like a piece of me came back, and I feel like, you know, I'm almost my complete self, but like not completely, but almost. But I feel so more empowered than I did. So like little things that they don't really bother me. Okay, whatever. It's for a better plan. So, but I feel like it cleared like a huge path like out, and you know.
That's good. That's significant, you know.
It was.
Yeah. For those of you following us, we're talking to Zarathustra, and the website is fifthdimensionalhealing.com. That's with a numeral 5. So
5th.
Yes, 5th dimensionalhealing.com. And you can follow us pretty much as far as what's going on. Now, what is you have a question here. What is fifth dimensional quantum healing? Is that what you were describing, or is that something else?
Well, fifth dimensional quantum healing is a shamanic practice for a healer who has access to subatomic field of energy. It's basically, it's to raise vibrations, because we're energy, and we're vibrating in certain frequency in our daily lives.
Right.
And
is everyone in a different frequency, or are we all the same because we're all human?
We vibrate in different frequencies, basically. So and that's why, you know, sometimes you go to places, for instance, and you are able to come back and report to your family or friends and say, well, that was really low vibe, low vibration place I went to, for instance, right?
Right.
And then you go to places whether it's an event or if you go to the mountains or a beautiful place like Sedona or Maui, and you're able to report like that was so high vibrational.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So there is definitely different vibrations on planet Earth and everywhere. And so what fifth dimensional quantum healing does is raising vibrations in a very, very accelerated way to fifth dimensional vibrational frequency.
Right. And what does that do? I mean, is it something that's noticeable to other people, to you, when you raise that vibration?
I feel like when people have a high vibration, like I kind of gravitate towards them, and I'm like, oh, like even certain things, like this is going to sound crazy, but you can also program like stones and things to be of higher vibration or for certain things. And I'll walk into my girlfriend's shop and I'll be like, oh, that is so amazing. I just want to touch it. She's like, get away from it. And I'm like, she's like, how did you know that was, you know, because I can feel the higher vibrations or whatever it's programmed for. So I can walk into a room and I'll pick out the stones that I think are amazing. And she's like, those are the ones that I programmed for that. She's like, darn you, Bruschetta. Because I always pick them out. I'm like, oh, it's this one, it's this one.
Whoa.
So, but I feel like for me, from my experience, like to how to explain it in like my terms is, certain people I gravitate to and certain people I'm like, I just don't want to be around them. You get that feeling where something's just, you know, it's a lower vibration.
So you think that has to do with vibration? It's not necessarily like personality or mood or things like
energy
that.
Energy and then vibration. I think it's all, well, I'll let you talk.
Okay, so what is the question again?
What was the question? Oh, do you like notice it in other people when there's more vibration, you know, when there's higher vibration?
Yes, I do. I do. And also, as well as I think you mentioned that earlier, how we do this is I'm able to create a unified field of love and to raise everyone's vibrations. If I'm doing a workshop or if it's an event, able to raise everyone's vibrations very quickly to a much higher level in order to do the work. So anyone could be there and I've never worked with anybody who hasn't been affected within the first few minutes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Never had that experience. As long as they participate in the series of meditations that I give them.
I see.
Not necessarily they will be healed, but I've never had experienced someone not being affected
In some way. Right.
Now, then we also have different levels of healings, whether it's spiritual, if it's emotional, or it's physical.
Mm-hmm.
And normally physical is the last one as far as someone gets healed. The other issues, when I do my work, people are very, very quickly affected and things start to change in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Bridgetta.
Yeah, like Bridgetta. Yeah. Bridgetta experienced that.
I was able to take away a crutch the next day, and I just felt more positive and better, and things had opened up, and so, you know, the old disagreement that I have with, you know, I wound up meeting with the ex, and things, you know, just
so
good
it
things.
Improved,
like,
right.
Things are improving.
You attribute it to the healing and stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, it happened at the same time. Maybe.
I'm trying to make Sam a believer. I always try.
No,
to
I mean, look, I'm very open-minded, you know? I mean, really. So this is interesting. So how did you get into all this? How did you learn all this?
Well, the healing part of it happened when I was at age 21, which I had a dream that in this dream, I walk into the kitchen and I see my mother's dead. And she had fallen on the floor, and half of her body was decomposed.
Mm.
Apparently, she had been dead for a week or so. And I started yelling, screaming, "No, no, mother! You know, you can't die!" And I run over her, and I grab the one hand which was still good, and I put my other hand to the sky, and I saw that a river of light poured in from the sky and came through my hand and went through my body and went to my other hand that I was holding my mother's hand with and went into her body. And her body came back to life. Like these sci-fi movies that we're seeing nowadays.
Right.
This is about 30 years ago.
Right.
And
but did you say that was a dream or is that
it
for
was
real?
It was a dream.
That was a dream. Okay.
And she came back to life.
Mm.
And after that dream, I realized that I was a healer.
Mm.
But it took me years before I put my hands on anyone.
Right.
Because it takes time to build the confidence and to become clear and become a clear channel.
Right. But isn't that a bit of a stretch when you dream of something like this and then you wake up and you realize, hey, I'm a healer? I mean, what made you feel that way? What made you conclude you're a healer?
Well, the dream was so profound that it activated something in my cellular memory that when I woke up the next day, I knew for sure this was going to be, I'll have something to do with this in the future. I didn't know at that time what or how it was going to happen, which nothing happened for the next 10 years.
Right.
But I knew down deep in my heart that something was going to come.
Mm. Wow. Interesting. So now what is... So we've been talking about the fifth dimension. And so is that the vibrations? Is that what you were mentioning before? I mean, how do we reach a fifth dimension?
Okay. Fifth dimension is a unified field of love without the illusion of duality. Now, your soul, your higher self... resides in fifth dimension. Every human being on this planet, their higher self resides in fifth dimension. All your intuitive knowing is coming from your fifth dimensional self. For example, here in Los Angeles, we have a lot of artists, we have a lot of writers, a lot of people with a lot of different creative talents.
Right.
And we do come across these people that sometimes are saying, oh, I was writing a book and I couldn't write anymore.
Mm.
Or I was writing all these songs and I had to stop. Or saying that, oh, I woke up in the middle of the night and I went to my working desk and I started, things were pouring in.
Mm-hmm.
Where does all this creativity come from?
Right.
It comes from your fifth dimensional self. So when the portal opens up, the gateway opens up, all the information starts to get downloaded.
Right.
So we all reside in all these different dimensions simultaneously, and we do have access to it. The reason that we don't regularly travel or we don't experience it at all times is because of the vibrations.
Right.
If we're not vibrating in certain levels, therefore, our awareness will not be focused on that level.
Mm.
So if we are vibrating in a low frequency, then your awareness is going to be there.
Mm.
And you're living in that level of fears or anger or duality. All the stuff is happening on third dimension.
Right. So how do you heal people? Do you have to touch them? Do you just put them through, meditation, like you said, and things like that? I mean, do you have to touch them? Or how does it work? How does the healing work?
Well, first of all, I don't heal anyone because God heals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the presence. It's the presence of Her Majesty Lord God, the Spirit, which resides in every being, everywhere. So that's where the real healing is coming from. Now, as a healer or an instrument of healing, what I do is I basically go into my own inner silence. So I have developed this pathway of going into this place within myself, which is very still, very silent, very quiet. And when I do that, my vibration starts rising very quickly.
Mm.
Now, when my own vibrations begin to raise very quickly, or we can call it that the presence of our Lord God, the Spirit comes in, then people around me are going to be affected. As far as your other part of the question goes, some I do touch, and some people I don't need to touch. I just look at them.
Mm.
And if I have a large group of people, which is a mixed bag, and I don't know if they've done meditation or they've worked on themselves or not, I have no idea what the deal is, then I give them a series of meditations to do, which are active meditations, mm-hmm. By jumping, by dancing, by laughing, crying, whatever that is needed, to empty their minds and raise their vibrations.
Right. Well, that's a lot of information. So how did you come by this? How did you learn all this?
Well, it's been 25 years
really?
of sitting with different teachers, masters, and healers from across the globe. Began with Islamic Sufism and then Buddhism, went into research Buddhism. I looked into different religions. I couldn't find the answers I was looking for, but I got some ideas. And then I came across some Indian teachers and gurus. Went to India for a few years in 1992, 93, 94. I was at the presence of some very powerful masters. Then I went to Philippines in search of some Filipino psychic surgeons. They do surgery with their bare hand without any anesthetic.
Wow.
Yeah, you can see some of it online. Like I've looked, it's incredible.
Spend a little bit of time with Tibetans. Been in southern part of India, some Ayurvedic institutions to study the Ayurvedic medicine. And also in 2008, I went to Brazil to see John of God, who's a Brazilian, very famous Brazilian healer.
Yeah, Brigitte introduced him to us. Well, not in person, but she told us about it. Yeah, go on.
So spend 25 years of searching, soul searching, research, and being at the presence of all these different beautiful masters and teachers.
Right. Now let's go a little bit back to get a little bit background on you and stuff. Where were you raised?
I was born in Paris, France, but my parents are Iranian, so we moved to Tehran, Iran when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
And I lived there from age 5 till 19.
Right.
Wow. 1978, I migrated to the States.
Right.
I am a U.S. citizen now.
So you came here right before the revolution?
Right before
wow.
the revolution, yes.
Wow.
I was lucky.
Yeah, I mean, did you see anything coming, or was it just a coincidence that you left it?
I from childhood I had a feeling that one day I will leave Iran and I probably would never live there mm-hmm. again.
Right.
It's a feeling I had.
Mm.
No, at that time I wasn't very in tune when I was 17 or 18 years old as far as seeing something coming from the future. No.
Right. Wow. So you grew up, so how many years did you grow up
In Iran?
In Iran.
From age 5 to 19.
19,
14
okay.
years, yes.
Right. And so you were with the family. Now, when you left, did you leave the family behind or did they move here too?
They moved here a couple of years after.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm migrated to San Francisco, went to college, studying psychology,
mm-hmm.
and... studying psychology for 3 years. I was 4 years, but I wasn't interested in psychology because it's a study of human behavior. I was mm-hmm. interested in spirituality, but at that time I didn't know what to call it.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that attraction to spirituality, was that something natural that just happened to you?
It was from childhood. I used to hear voices, and I there were some entities talking to me when I was a child, and I was 4 or 5 years old. I was questioning a lot of things, deep stuff, like mm-hmm. why am I here? What am I doing on this planet? And when somebody would die in our family, I would ask my parents, what happens when they die? And they would tell me that they're no more.
Mm.
But I couldn't buy it because at that time I was like, how could I ever die?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I had all these deep questions, deep spiritual questions at that age that weren't answered.
Right.
I can totally relate because the same thing would happen. And you're going to think this is, do you think I'm crazy anyway, so it doesn't matter. But before a relative
crazy.
Would die,
I think you're nuts.
I would know that they were going to die beforehand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just knew. Like I just,
really?
And I, yeah. And
wow.
I was really in tune with spirits at a very young age as well. Like, I, mm-hmm. But I just thought they were like, I didn't realize they were spirits. I thought they were there. I'm like, why can't you see it? Don't you? It's right there. Why can't? And people would think I'm. My parents put me in therapy.
Really?
They thought I was so crazy. Yeah, because I would be like, well, it's right. Okay. I'll not tell you anymore. It's fine. But I'll talk to them on my own. Okay. You know, and they would. So I totally relate. And it's like I felt, you know, I've always been very spiritual my entire life. And it's like growing up in the area that I was in, you know, you didn't have much, but there was like pagan and Wiccan and all these things and magic. And I'm like, well, maybe I'm supposed to go learn about that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm supposed to, and I started like learning about different religions, not knowing what I was searching for, but just something. Like I just needed to know. And I got interested for years. So I understand exactly like where you're coming from because I was the same thing. And I studied psychology because what do you do? And now, like finally nowadays, like my sister is the same way. And she's going to Bastyr University, which is a spiritual like place. It's about healing.
Really?
It's a healing school. Yeah, it's very well known. And that's the thing, like no place in the U.S. It's like it's an accredited school, but it's still like, they don't believe in, like, you know, you graduate with a degree in healing or a degree in, you know what I mean, like Ayurveda or whatever. And it's not fair. Like, they're trying to, like, open it up more. And Bastyr is one of the best schools. And I think it's amazing that they're finally, like, there's finally schools that are taking notice. Like, it's finally accepted nowadays.
Right.
So I think that's amazing. And so now I'm seeing more people, more and more come out and, like, go to these type of schools and whatnot. So,
wow, interesting.
Anyway, I just had to say that.
So you moved to San Francisco from Tehran.
From Tehran, yes.
And how did you pick San Francisco out of all places?
My brother, he was going to University of San Francisco because they had the best basketball, college basketball team at the time. He had chosen that school, so I ended up there.
I see. Was he an older brother?
Older brother,
so
yes.
He left before you, right?
Yes, he did.
Okay, and what was he doing there?
He was studying, he was getting his MBA.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay.
In San Francisco.
And then his brother's like, yeah, psychology first, and then deciding, no, it's not for me.
Well, I was 3 years in the college, and then one day I went to see the dean of psychology department. I asked her, like, you know, all these, I explained to her what I'm interested in, and all these courses I'm taking, they seem very boring to me.
Yeah.
She started laughing, and she said, look, what you're interested in is parapsychology, which is a scientific method of studying the psychic phenomena. And there's only, at that time, there was only one university which was offering anything in that realm, which was John F. Kennedy University in Orinda. And anyway, so I thought, okay, I'm into this for 3 years. I might as well graduate.
Yeah.
I graduated and then went to apply to JFK University.
Uh-huh.
That's cool.
That's interesting. So, yeah. So... JFK University, where is it?
It's in Northern California, close to Walnut Creek.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's a nice area up there, huh?
I didn't live there. I went to grad school for one day, and then they gave us a lot of assignments, and that was the day I realized that I don't want to study anymore. So I quit.
That was me.
And then you got out of college. What did you do then?
I did random work. And that at one point I was selling stuff in things in the swap meet, so I did that for a few years, and then I got my degree. I got my real estate license, and I moved to Los Angeles from San Francisco and started doing commercial real estate.
Wow!
And
how did that go? Pretty well.
It didn't go very well.
No, not for you. You're a spiritual person. You're not into that.
Well, for the next 20 years, I did different things. I got into insurance, and
it was like me. And by the way, you're Sagittarius too, right?
Yeah, I'm a Sagittarius.
We're like this, but I have like 1,000 things. I don't know. Something will work out of it. That's what I think.
I look at it this way, that I obviously the spirit was taking me. I was going towards God the whole time.
Yeah.
The heart was there, but obviously I had to do all these different things in order to understand different areas of society.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
That's a cool way of looking at it, actually, because I've done all kinds of weird jobs that I'm like, I don't even know why I did that, just for the experience. And now that's a really good way of looking at it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So then, So then what did you do? I mean, at what point did you decide I'm going to go to other countries and learn this stuff?
Right. Well, in 1989, I had an experience of I met this amazing, wonderful healer named Adele Tinnix. This beautiful woman, Caucasian lady, 82-year-old, white hair with beautiful, beautiful blue eyes. And he always gave me the sense of feeling of Jesus Christ, even though I don't know very much. I've never felt connected to Christ energy until I met her. And I met this lady, and there was a very strong connection between us. She took me in. And right after meeting her, a lot of things began to change in my life. I started to become very dissatisfied with my job, which I was a sales manager to an insurance agency at age 29, and I was very, very successful. And I became very dissatisfied with every area of my life. And there was this inner awakening. Something was dying within me, and something was being born, and started to really question the meaning of life.
Right.
Simultaneously, I met this beautiful black man with dreadlocks who became my best friend to this day, and he became my spiritual teacher. And he turned me on to different teachers, masters, gave me different books, and he started teaching me how to work with energy. So one thing led to another, and finally everything got to a point that I quit everything I was doing, and I decided that the only thing I have to do now is to join God, the union with the divine. So nothing was satisfying me. Didn't matter how much I drank, how much drugs I took, how much I had sex. I wanted to become one with God, and went on this journey to India in search of self-realization.
Right. So you had heard that India is probably where it's all at, right?
At that time, it felt like what happened was I felt like everybody around me was confused, except this beautiful friend of mine, Ernest Middleton, his name is. I thought everybody else was in darkness, and I wanted to be in the company of wise people. Adele Tinnix, unfortunately, she died after 6 months I met her, so I felt left out and felt like I need to put myself in an environment of a spiritual environment, and being around some teacher, master who has found the truth and has the power of transmission and can transmit their spiritual understanding to me.
Right.
And I didn't find that at that time where I was.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, what religion were you raised as?
I wasn't raised with...
with religion at all?
With any religion. No.
Wow, that's interesting. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, because I guess Iran before that was not that religious at the time, before the revolution and everything, so
not on a surface,
right?
And we my family, we really didn't practice any religion, but we had both my parents and my brother's sisters always had a very strong connection to the divine self, to Lord God, but we didn't practice any religion.
I see. And so how did you come by with your name? What does it mean? How did you choose it?
Zarathustra is the name of the prophet Zoroaster, or Zarathustra, who came to ancient Persia 3,000 years ago. Original Persians, Iranians, before they became Muslims, they were Zoroastrians. And about 1,600 years ago, they were attacked by the Arabs, and they were forced to Islam. So Zarathustra is the name of the master, like Jesus Christ or Moses. The name was given to me by one of my spiritual teachers named Osho. On May 15th, 1990, I received this name, and I felt resonance with it, and I accepted it.
Yeah. Did you do numerology on it to see if it's fitting you? And
not well. I couldn't even pronounce it in that moment, but it sounded it sounded really good.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because a week before I received the name, I went to a record store and I bought a bunch of classical records, used ones, and one of them was "Thus Spake Zarathustra," and I didn't know at that moment. So I buy these records, and I right the day before I received my name, I got a little package came in mail, and I go, I open up the package, and it was a symbol of Zoroastrians that my sister had mailed to me as a gift. And I still had not connected the dots together. And that evening, I went for this celebration at this center, and there were there was a nice celebration. They would call everybody on the front, and this lady would give you a mala, put this mala around your neck, and would give you a certificate, which was your name. And my name was Swami Anand Zarathustra, which I couldn't pronounce it, but it sounded good.
Right.
And later on, couple days after, I still had not connected the dots. I'm going through these records I bought, and all of a sudden I see "Thus Spake Zarathustra," and my whole body started to shiver. And the following day, I realized that the symbol that my sister had sent, which is called, it's Farvahar, which is a symbol of Zoroastrianism's god, was from this religion, Zoroastrianism, and their prophet is Zarathustra.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I had received the name Zarathustra, so everything connected.
Yeah, yeah. That's wow, so that's cool. Interesting. Yeah. And where did that happen? Where were you given that name?
This was in 1990 in San Diego.
San Diego. Okay, yes. I thought it was in India or something.
No, but that was prior to going to India.
Oh, prior to that.
Right.
How long were you in India for?
That journey, on and off, I was in India for 3 years, on and off.
Yeah.
Because I could only stay there for 6 months, and then I had to leave.
Right.
But I went to Philippines, Malaysia, went to Philippines in search of the Filipino psychic surgeons. So I was roaming around.
You right. have to Google that. I mean, it's on YouTube.
Really? Did you find them? Like...
Yes, I came across a few of them. I met Alex Orbido, who's a famous Filipino psychic surgeon, and I've had four psychic surgeries done to me so far. It's literally a surgery. Their fingers, bare fingers, go inside your body, and they pull out particles out of your body.
Really?
And as they pull their fingers out of your body, the skin goes back to normal.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I'm telling you, like, there's this, because I
sounds like Raiders of the Lost Ark or something.
Yes.
But it's, there's a, you can look at it on YouTube, some of them, because there's a healing center in Florida, in Naples, Florida, that I work with, and he's into quantum healing as well, and he showed me, I forgot the name of whoever, whatever, you can just Google it, and there's, what they do is these people can come in with cancer, and this was the one that I saw, and they had cancer, I think it was like in her like ovaries or something, and you could see when they stood around and they were chanting, the more they chanted and the vibrations they were like placing like on her, it shrunk and shrunk.
Really?
And it's live feed, and you could see, because it's a soul, what do they call it? When you're like pregnant, you like put that thing on you. What is it?
You put something on
when you're
you?
Like pregnant, and they like come and see the baby inside.
Oh, the ultrasound.
Okay, ultrasound. So we had an ultrasound on, so you could see the cancer, and it was shrinking, lifey. It was amazing, and they're really well known. So people flock from who like are you know really scared. They flock from wherever to go find the psychic surgeons, and whatnot, and there, and it's on. You can see a couple of the videos online because some Americans went there to film it, and that's what I got to see, and it was incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, we are out of time. Zarathustra, thank you so much for joining us.
Hold on. He's got a workshop.
Yes. We want to hear about that.
Yes.
That's why I wanted to
ahead
and plug. Like, go ahead and plug whatever you have. She's like, you came all the way here.
I'm like, wait.
You might as well promote. Go ahead.
Well, then, go ahead. You can say this. There's one tonight.
Ahead.
Well, there's one tonight from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. And it's open to everyone. And it's at the Olympic Collection, which is in the Atrium Ballroom. And the Olympic Collection is at 11301 Olympic Boulevard, and that's in West LA, 90064. So you guys definitely have to come check it out. And then he's got a workshop this entire weekend, Saturday and Sunday, that you guys can also check out, the same place, Olympic Collection. But if you go to fifthdimensionalhealing.com, all the information will be on there as well,
yes.
Right?
Yes, information will be there. Tonight is a free introductory event from 7:30 to 9:30. It's open to everyone. If anybody would like to come and sample it and get an idea of what we do, they're welcome to come.
Amazing.
It's amazing. And then there's sound healing too. Oh, it's so incredible. Wow. Just to like even like just be in the room is like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Vijeta loves this stuff. So, well, thank you for joining us. You're very interesting, very fascinating stuff. And yeah, maybe you'll do some healing on me one day.
I would
when
love
I'm
to.
Ill. Right now I'm good, oh, thanks.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And absolutely.
Of course. Okay, Brigitte, I have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody for listening, and we'll see you on Monday.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigitte, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigitte is an L.A. talk radio production where we say what we want.